The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
You know, we got kidney transplants, lung transplants. We got all kinds of transplants. I can't wait until we have brain transplants. I'm going to be first in line. Oh, I keep telling you, and it's true, I have the world's worst memory, and it's not because I'm old. I've always been this way. I am so easily distracted. Not this last break that we just came out of, but the 5:15 break. If you were listening just before the break, I asked a question, and I promised you I would answer it. And by the way, Luther in Chillicothe, hang tight. I'll come to you, I promise, here in just a minute. But I gotta clear this up. Just before the 5:15 break, I asked you a question. Who are the only people that Jesus got angry with? The only ones. And he got angry with them on numerous occasions, not just once. What is the only group that Jesus called bad names? And not just once or twice. And the answer is the religious crowd. The religious crowd. He got angry, went into the temple, overturned the money changers, had a whip, and drove them out. Called them some pretty bad names. Snakes and vipers. You know? Why did sepulchers filled with dead men's bones? The same people, he said, you are of your father, the devil. He didn't say that to the politicians. He didn't say it to the sinners. In fact, occasionally he had dinner with the sinners, not to condone their sin, but to bring them to repentance. Please don't misunderstand that. A lot of people try to make you believe that Jesus had dinner with the sinners so that he could sugarcoat their sin. Oh, no, nothing could be further from the truth. He hung out with sinners. He did, but to call them to repentance because he said they were sick and they needed a physician. Now, what brought that up? I was talking about the absolutely corrupt Church of Sweden, the Lutheran Church of Sweden. Same thing as the mainline Protestant denominations in America today. Jesus would not be giving angry comments about the corrupt politicians in Washington, D.C., because he never did. There were corrupt politicians during his time. Remember, it was the Roman Empire. Taxpayers were corrupt. Politicians were corrupt. If Jesus were here today, you would not hear him speaking angry things about politicians or even prostitutes. He would be saying angry things about churches that call themselves Christian, using his name, and have rejected what he taught. That is who Jesus would be angry with. It's an important lesson to remember. All right, let's go to the phones. It is Open Phone Friday, and we've got Luther in Chillicothe. Hey, Luther, welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I missed part of your program one day, but I just caught, like, the end of you was talking about you witnessed a Ouija board reading or something like that.
Oh, my goodness. That was when I was in high school.
Oh,
that was when I was in high school, and I still remember it like it was yesterday.
Could you tell us what happened there and it may be demonic?
I'd be happy to. It was at a church youth group fellowship, of all things. We were at a family's house, members of the church, and it was a youth group after church on Sunday night. We were having, you know, pop and popcorn, I don't know what all else, and we were just having a good time in a very, very conservative, fundamental Baptist church youth group. And the kid who lived at the house brought out a Ouija board, and he said, let's play with this. I didn't know what a Ouija board was, didn't know anything about it. And we all sat around and said, oh, okay, well, we'll play with a Ouija board. And so we set it up, and it had a little glass in the center. And if I remember correctly, two people put their fingers on top of the little glass. And then you ask the Ouija board questions, and it would spell out answers. The little glass would move around on the table. Well, we hadn't been playing very long, and someone said, where are you? Where do you live? And that glass began to move, and it spelled out H-E-L-L. And it scared me spitless, and everybody else as well. We threw that thing down. We put it away. We asked God to forgive us, and that was my experience, and I've never touched a Ouija board or gone even close to one since then. And the two kids that had their fingers on the glass said they did not spell out hell. It was the Ouija board that did that. So, yes, I do believe in demonic forces. I do. And anyway, that was my experience, and that was many, 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 many years ago.
I wanted you to say that because I was wanting to do a comment on this voter machines. Somebody could be interfering with the outcome of it. I think maybe we ought to do some type of Republican, Democrat witness, everybody filling out the voting sheet and then authorizing it, because that'd be the only way that we could know that demonic forces wasn't moving instruments in this voting machine.
Well, Luther, I think that's a stretch to equate a Ouija board with voting machines who are mechanical. And I mean, if we start going down that road, then we got to be suspicious of almost any machine, anything that's mechanical that's around us and so forth. I am for voter transparency. I am voter for voter reform. I don't mind the voting machines as long as we can be absolutely certain that they cannot be controlled by an outside force, that they do not connect in any way, shape, or form to the internet, and the algorithm that is placed in that machine is certifiably neutral. I don't know that that's the case because I don't know that much about the technology. And to this point, I have read a great deal about, you know, the voting machines being pre-programmed and all of that. I personally have not found any verifiable evidence to that. I've read a lot of claims, but I've not read any evidence. But as far as the spiritual dimension of the voting machines, I don't know. I think that might be a stretch, Luther.
I was going for the conspiracy thing here anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, Luther. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. But that story about the Ouija board, I was in high school, and that's been more than 10 years ago, a long time ago. And it was at a church function in a church family's house. And I will never forget it. In all my years, I believe I have come face to face with demonic activity maybe five times. Three times that I'm absolutely positive. The others, maybe. But there is no doubt that there is demonic activity in the world around us. There is a whole dimension, folks. If you read through Daniel, just not long ago, I went through the book of Daniel again. And Daniel is praying. And an angel has his answer. But the angel says, I would have been here a lot sooner, but I was interrupted. I was fought against by the prince of Persia, a demonic force. And this angel took days to get to Daniel with his answer. There are many other portions of Scripture where we are, the cover is pulled off of that spiritual dimension that we normally cannot see. But we know it's there.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
You know, when we talk about what I refer to as the spiritual dimension, we probably have more questions than we have answers. The Bible just occasionally pulls back the curtain a little bit and allows us to get a glimpse into that dimension to let us know that it's there. There is a dimension with enormous spiritual activity. Angels, demons, fallen angels. And there are battles in that realm, in that dimension that we usually cannot see and do not experience. But it's there. I believe right now. I have at least one or more angels in this room with me. No, I really do. You call me crazy if you want. That's fine. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits? Speaking of angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? So not only do we have the so-called guardian angel now, God dispatches angels to us when he knows that we will be an heir of salvation. And it's important for us not to misunderstand and misinterpret, because I would say that at least 80% of everything you hear and read on angels is false. At least 80%. The TV series, Touched by an Angel, that was great. It was positive. Absolutely nothing biblical about it. Nothing biblical about it. One of my favorite portions of Scripture where the curtain is pulled aside is in 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha the prophet is exposing all of the plans of God's enemy, the Syrians. Every time the king of Syria makes a plan to attack God's people, Elisha reveals the plan to Israel, and the plan is thwarted. So much so that the king of Syria says, we got a spy. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 12. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, because the king says, who's spying? One of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. And the king said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore the king sent thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. So here is Elisha, completely surrounded by a great host, an army, horses, chariots, soldiers. And Elisha's servant comes out of the house in the morning, probably to get water. They obviously didn't have indoor plumbing. And Elisha's servant, Elisha's helper, comes out in the morning and sees that they are completely surrounded by this massive army, chariots. Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host come past the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto Elisha, alas, my master, what are we going to do? He is scared to death. It's Elisha and the servant and this whole army of soldiers, horses, and chariots. So he comes running back into the house and he says, my master, what are we going to do? Here's what Elisha says. Get this. Elisha answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And I have a wild imagination. At that point, I can see this servant going, he looks out the window and he counts 100, 200, 400, 600, 200 chariots, 400 chariots. Then he turns to Elisha and goes, one, two. One, two. Elisha, what are you, nuts? There's hundreds of them, and there are two of us, and you just said there are more in number that are with us than with them? And get this, verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. That's it. That's the entire prayer. Elisha doesn't say, oh my goodness, send angels, send angels. He just says, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. An angelic army. Get this, really important because I'm running out of time. Elisha did not pray that the army of angels would show up. Elisha knew they were already there. He simply prayed that his servant's eyes would be opened, the curtain would be pulled back, so for one time, his servant could see into that spiritual realm. The angels were already there. I don't know about you, but I take great comfort in that. Hey, have a great evening, folks, but please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.